Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. It's another view from the Bland Stands. Friend of the program, Evan Bland from the Omaha World Herald, is joining us tonight. We're excited to get Evan's thoughts on all sorts of things. The USC game, the weekly press conference, the upcoming Wisconsin game, and all sorts of stuff. But before we do that, you know what we're going to say, common fans. Make sure to go to cpbeef.com to get certified Piedmontese beef. It's premium Nebraska beef. Where does the best beef in the world come from? Nebraska. And this is the best of the best. This is the best of Nebraska beef, certified Piedmontese. And you can get 25% off cpbeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. You can get certified Piedmontese shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states.
Do it.
Do it, common fans.
Do it.
You can also go to your local Mercado Butcher Shop. There's one in Lincoln. There's two in Omaha. They've got all the raw, fresh cuts, and they've also got hot food ready to go. So we've said it before. Maybe go pick yourself up some lunch while at the same time getting steaks for the family for dinner. You can't go wrong. Certified Piedmontese, promo code common fan, all one word, common fan, 25% off. Can't beat it. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Also, make sure to check out our brand new website. Well, it's not really brand new anymore. www.commonfan.co. TS Web Services did a great job building the site for us. Their team of experts provides tailored to your needs. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. We had a great experience working with their team. They were responsive and delivered high quality work. They can help you improve, redesign, or host your website. Excuse me. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Finally, common fans, if you can believe it, next week is Black Friday. Next week is Thanksgiving. And then the day after that, it's going to be Christmas season. What better Christmas gift for your loved ones than Common Fan socks? Or just fun socks in general that you can get at Silly Socks. That's go to sillysco.com, S-I-L-L-I-E-S-C-O.com. They've got all sorts of fun socks. We've got a Common Fan sock line with multiple options there, which is super fun and exciting. So you should definitely get some Common Fan socks. But they got all sorts of other colorful, fun socks, designs, all sorts of stuff. They make great gifts, great stocking stuffers, great gifts for kids of all ages. And you can get 25% off at Silly's as well using the promo code GBR for life. Owens, yeah, you can get 25% off.
Even me?
Even you. Even you.
Hey, imagine this. What if somebody has a real common fan in their life? They could get them 25% off. They could get you 25% off certified Piedmontese beef, 25% off common fan socks. They could be grilling up CP beef wearing their Common Fan socks.
You can't go imagine wrong. Yeah. listening to the Common Fan Podcast while they do it. Yeah.
You that's can't go the wrong. Dream. Yeah.
Use that. It's certainly a dream for Evan. We can tell. You can see the enthusiasm on your face. Yeah. use the promo code GBR for life. That's all one word, GBR number 4 LIFE for your 25% off at sillysco.com. That's sillysco.com. And you buy two pairs, you get one free. So you can get three pairs of socks for, I think it's $12. And you might as well splurge and get six, nine, 12 pairs, whatever.
You're covered for the week. You can be covered for the week.
Yeah, you can be covered for the whole Christmas season,
Matt. There you go.
You sure can. You sure can. All right, fellas. I think that gets that's we got all these, big time major corporate sponsors here.
Yeah,
It takes a minute to
it
get
really
through.
does. I don't
Don't
know why.
hold it against us, common fans.
I can't help it. Like, I can't. I'm envisioning like using a sock, a stocking, if you will, and hanging it above the fireplace, and then just shoving like some meat from CPP from there.
Now the next raw beef and a couple pairs of socks in the stocking. What'd you get there, son? Oh, Jimmy got the tomb
This.
play.
Ooh, a ribeye and some socks. Let's go.
Oh,
Oh my
wrapped
God.
separately, wrapped
Yeah, please.
separately.
Yeah,
Yes.
please. Please.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Evan, what's going on, man?
I mean, you got me thinking, how many pairs of socks do you need so like you can just not do a wash, every so often, like, I don't know,
100%.
30
I think you're,
pairs,
I think,
like.
yeah, 30 pairs would be good. And so that would be what? 12 for every three times. So we got $120 for 30 pairs of socks.
Boom.
And
I
I
just
mean,
freedom. That's personal freedom.
that really is. You
Yeah,
can't, and
that's
you
a
can't put a price on that. You really that's
can't.
exactly right. That's a one-time cost, and you're covered for, every month. You can't beat it. You can't beat it.
Really can't.
That's true.
Evan, maybe we should talk about football. Evan, some really illuminating press conferences this week. So Matt Rhule talked on Monday, and Dana Holgorsen talked on Tuesday. There was a lot of chatter about what Holgorsen said. We'll get to that, but Rhule had a lot to say too. And I have a very specific question about one of the things that he said, but any general takeaways from you about Rhule's press conference on Monday?
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of interesting things. He always does. I mean, even on weeks when you're like, what's he going to talk about? We always get into something interesting. I maybe had more of an appreciation for what senior day will be for Nebraska this week. And it's been known for a while that because of the house settlement going with the NCAA, they're going to have to cut the roster size down to 105. But I mean, Matt Rhule went so far as to call it the end of an era where Nebraska's been in the 140s or 150s over the years, recently anyway. And so a lot of the walk-on stories that you've heard, a lot of the guys who've been in the program 5 or 6 years, maybe those stories don't happen as much. Maybe those guys start at a lower level of football and end up transferring up for 2 or 3 years. And kind of the example that has often come up has been John Bullock, who arrived as a walk-on local in-state kid who played safety for most of his career. And then when Rhule came, they said, hey, let's make this guy a linebacker. And he's been really good for the last couple seasons, including this one. So I think that's fascinating to me. Like the senior days have already changed so much over the last 5 years. It used to be, hey, everyone here pretty much has been in the program for 4 or 5 years. And then it became, well, some of those guys have, plus these transfers. And now it's going to change again, where you just aren't going to have very many of those walk-on stories. So I thought that was interesting as it pertains to Wisconsin and just kind of taken in that moment. But, I think his review of the offense under Holgorsen was interesting. And then he mentioned again like how important it is for the program to get to a bowl game, not necessarily just from an optics perspective, but because for the practices, for the seniors, all these different things, you can really tell like there's a sense of urgency to get this thing done with 2 games to go.
One thing I thought was interesting, and I can't remember the question that prompted it, but was when he was talking about the defensive backs, not like kind of basically made it sound like they were freelancing out there. And, he was saying those are day, I think he said those are day one routes that we just weren't, guys weren't covering. Or he's like, he said, it's like, it's not, I think that was the line where he said, we're not cursed. We're not what this, we're not that. When you're supposed to play cover two, we need you to play cover two. Why is it so hard? Why is this happening in week 11 or 12 or whatever it is of the season where these are veteran guys? The whole defensive backfield is what, juniors and seniors? And you have guys like basically not doing their jobs. Do you, is this, we talked about this on a, I think our last episode or a very recent episode of, we just never even heard about this kind of thing. I remember, like, you never heard about this in like the Osborne era. And maybe, I'm sure it's happened since the beginning of time, but why does simple things seem so hard for this team?
I mean, I don't have an answer for that, but I know as it pertains to the different defenses that they ran, I think Deshaun Singleton, one of the starting safeties, said that there was a miscommunication where, much like on offense, the quarterback wears the green dot and can talk to the coaches. That's also the case on defense, and whoever was wearing it conveys whatever the call is to the rest of the team. And I guess a player or two just wasn't looking, maybe missed part of the signal, and so that led to the miscommunication there. But I mean, yeah, there's no doubt, like, that it's frustrating because that at times has been an asset for Nebraska this year, the secondary. And as you mentioned, they're all juniors, they're seniors, and like you can point to so many moments in that USC game where, I mean, they're just there were mistakes. There was the play where Maeva kind of rolled right and extended the play and kind of lofted it toward the sidelines, and it goes over Tommy Hill's head, and that's not supposed to be a play that you can convert in those circumstances. Of course, you had the Malcolm Hartzog sequence where in the end zone where the ball goes through his hands and bounces off the receiver's chest plate and back off Hartzog's helmet, and it's a touchdown, and like just
First.
things like that are frustrating. There was the key, I think it was third and long conversion where USC kind of had the ball bobbled up, and then the guy caught it on like the second or the third try. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's just a reminder. It was sort of a microcosm of why this team is so frustrating this year, is because it's inconsistent. It's inconsistent at a macro level, and it's inconsistent really in most places at a micro level too. And the secondary is a great example of that. I mean, it's had its highs from Tommy Hill's pick six against Colorado, and just some
Yeah.
of the plays that they have made, even when they've been banged up. Sierre Wright's been a feel good story. He was good against his former team, but yeah, I mean, like when you start trying to kind of figure out, hey, what should the strength of our team be? Who can we rely on? You shouldn't have these kind of mistakes from guys that have been in the program. So I think that's where a lot of that frustration came from, and like everything in this current Big Ten is magnified, right? Like gone are the days when you win by three scores and you can bring in the reserves and build up depth. Like it all comes down to clock management, one play here or there, a key turnover. Like that's how razor thin these margins are. So, Nebraska secondaries of the past probably made similar mistakes, but the spotlight and the stakes weren't nearly as intense as they have been for Nebraska every single week as they're trying to show progress.
Yeah, I don't, and some of it might be like, mistakes or whatnot, but like, to be honest, there's been times, like, especially in the USC game, like, it looked like there's just a lack of effort for real. Like, Tommy Hill in that situation where it's like he let that guy just walk right by him. It wasn't even an attempt at tackling
Yeah,
him.
the
It was
arm
really
tackle.
bizarre. The play after the one you described, Evan, where they scored, he was like, it was like he was playing touch.
And I don't get it. That's a far cry from what we saw with him in Colorado in that pick six. So, like, I don't know if he's hurt, but it just seems like a lot of, at least for him, they just didn't give it their all, so to speak. Yeah, I mean, and that's where the frustration comes from, right? Like, I think that's, you talk about, like, okay, if you're a fan, if you're a common fan, and you're really into this team, like, the frustration level heightens when you see, or what looks at least to be, guys who don't care as much as you do, right? Like that's where a lot of I think the frustration has come from. And again, maybe there's an injury at play, maybe there are other things that just made it look that way. But like that's where a lot of this angst, I think, has come from lately. And it's where maybe people have been encouraged with the offensive coordinator switch, where I think people could identify, like, hey, the head coach cares as much as we do to make a move, to be urgent. They are putting a lot of stock into getting to a bowl game and beating a rival and all that. So, yeah, and those emotions are higher now, right? Like the more the losing streak has gone on, every week's getting pretty intense. And last week was intense. Saturday's going to be more intense. And if they don't get it done there, that Friday in Iowa City is going to be at a new level as well.
I also think like seeing the angst comes from seeing what they're capable of doing. Like we've seen them do some pretty amazing things, and to see them regress, I think that just pisses people off even more because you know that we've got some talent out there and they can do what they need to do, and it's just not happening anymore. I guess that gets me all riled up.
For sure. Did
Well,
you
and
guys? Yeah, go
go
ahead.
ahead, Evan. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, did watching it all back on TV make it more frustrating to see all these things over and over? You had the last play, the pass interference, no call. Like, that had to have been a pretty frustrating game to watch on the broadcast, yes?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, when just the I mean just the plays that we've mentioned, as far as being when Nebraska's on defense and the ball just kind of bouncing around and floating in the air and then having it just fall into a USC guy's hands. I mean, that's where I think a lot of us come from a place of like, those are some of the luckiest catches I've seen all year, maybe in all the years that I've watched football. And then it's like, okay, we had guys there. But, is it on them for not being focused enough to knock it down or intercept it or whatever it might be? Or is it just dumb luck? I guess we've coming from a place where we already feel snake bitten and cursed or whatever you want to use there, you see that and it's just, I think it just adds to the frustration. You're already like scratching and clawing, trying to get that one more win. And when you see that ball floating in the air, and the other team come down with it, it's just like, oh my God, here we go again. So there was that. There was the officiating. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was just a typical game for a Husker fan, I think.
I'm numb to it, Evan. Like it wasn't even frustrating really for me at this point. Like I just kind of that specifically that last drive, because we talked about in the recap episode, not only were we going to have to drive all the way down the field and score, mind you, we're going to need to get a 2-point conversion and go to overtime. So my frustration, it was almost like I was like, can we just knee this out and just end it right now and put us out of our misery? Because I can't take this anymore. Like it was more of like sadness than frustration.
Yeah, from the time I felt like we were going to win or could win, from when we forced the fumble, and it was frustrating that we only kicked a field goal, but it was 21-20 at least. And all the way through, as long as it was 21-20, I thought we had a shot. And on that last drive, on USC's last scoring drive, I mean, if they don't, that was insane. Like, we did everything right on that play. And like I know we're talking about what led to this was a conversation about guys making mistakes, but we got to the quarterback, we disrupted the throw. It was behind, I mean, the USC receiver had to reach back like this. It was behind him by that much. It was not catchable. But he got a hand on it enough to knock it, bounce it off of Javon Wright and back to himself for the catch. I mean, it's just maddening. And so as soon as maybe not the like right away, but as soon as they broke the next one and got into like in the red zone, I was just like, I think I said, I might have told you guys this. I just said like to my wife and the kids, like, I know how this is gonna end. We all know, like,
We've seen this
we all know how
before.
this is gonna end. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So, sticking with that theme, Evan, of fan anger, let's just go with that. One more thing that contributed to that this week, or at least maybe had fans feeling vindicated a bit this week, was Dana Holgorsen's press conference when he talked about how poor the wide receivers are blocking and called it embarrassing, and how he found the running backs coach at halftime and told him the running backs need to hit the holes. They're missing holes. Why are they missing holes? And I think like fans have been shouting about this stuff all year. I'm sure Matt Rhule sees it. I'm sure Marcus Satterfield saw it. There's probably reasons why they're not going to get up and bag on those guys every week, right? It's a little bit of a unique circumstance where Holgorsen, as the new guy, can come in and say, "Well, here's my assessment." He's almost like an outsider who stepped in, but he can still give that raw. So maybe that's the way Holgorsen is. Maybe that's the way he'll always be. That'd be awesome if he was like that. So I think sometimes fans are angry at the performance and they just want blood. They want reporters to ask tough questions and they want coaches to say we suck and like all these things where it's like, okay, it's are you just wanting to feed your rage or whatever? However, like it is concerning when you couple what Holgerson said with Rule's comments about DBs not doing their jobs, should common fans be concerned with like what level of coaching this team is getting, or why guys are unable to execute consistently?
I mean, there's a lot of ways you can take it. You could take it that way. You could also take it in the sense of like, okay, there's been a problem, and now there's maybe a clearer diagnosis of that problem. And so obviously you don't want the problem. You wish your original doctor had identified it, but hey, you went to a specialist and they identified it. And, you know, maybe that's something that leads to some change there. So like the way I've kind of thought about it this week has been, Holgerson to me kind of fills kind of two different roles. There's the role of like, okay, it's a fresh set of eyes. He's a guy who has had success as a head coach at West Virginia, at Houston, leading offenses. And so like, he's going to have some perspective on how, on what could change. So like, for example, he said, hey, we need to get the ball out of the hands of our quarterback sooner. That was one thing that they tried to adjust to. But the other thing that I think is unique to Holgerson, and maybe one reason that Matt Rhule tapped him now, is his personality as a guy who's not afraid to speak bluntly and very plainly about guys, to what you're saying, TJ. I mean, he's talking to the assistant coaches about that. He's talking to the players in very kind of tough love, open terms. And like, you think about it, this is a guy who has, he has nothing on the line beyond these last two games. Like, Matt Rhule's already said, hey, if he wants to come back for 2025, we'd love to have him. So he's not auditioning for that role. If you followed his career elsewhere, he's a guy who does not care what people think. He's a guy who's going to speak colorfully and do all these things. And so like, I don't think it can hurt if he's going to say to a player, hey, you know, why have you guys blocked like crap on the perimeter? Like, I don't think guys have talked to receivers like that much. So, you know, it coincided, I thought, with some better perimeter blocking. That run Janarin Bonner had on a screen for a first down, I think it was 3rd and 10. He gets 11. That was one of their best perimeter blocked plays, I think, all season. And so, you know, maybe that shakes things up a little bit. Like, Dana Holgerson's that kind of guy. And again, like, all he's, to hear him talk for 15 minutes, all he's focused on is this game and the next game. It's not what's next year. It's not the portal. That's the other thing. Like, he's not talking to these guys about like, well, I don't want to upset them because they might transfer. He doesn't care. He's going to speak what he says because he's here to do a job for two games. So I think there's kind of a dual impact that Holgerson's having, both from a schematic sense, but then also just sort of, you know, emotionally and just at a real, real base level, where he can speak those things because of his background and get away with things that most coaches couldn't.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. This is just my, just take this for what it's worth.
Well, it's coming from you, Jeff. So people can decide what that's worth, but
it's words to me. I appreciate him saying it, but you know, I've kind of grown numb to this too, that like, ooh, this guy gets it. He's telling it like it is. This is something we've never seen before, type of attitude. We only put up 13 points of offense in that game, and I'm not expecting him to come in and turn everything out around.
Hey, Common fans, minor technical difficulty there. Evan, you were about to ask a question.
I was going to ask you guys. So Matt Rhule has talked about the team's not cursed. There's no hex. There's no, you know, the program's not doomed. And their action item off of that is focus on the play. If there's a defensive play call, how about everybody run that call? If there's, you know, whatever, like, guys can focus on the moment. Fans don't have that task to keep them busy. So like, do you reset emotionally every week and like believe anew that anything is possible? Or how much of like that emotional baggage piles up for you guys? Because, you know, the players come and go. You guys have been through a ton of one score losses. How do you kind of take that, just considering what Nebraska's been through?
Yeah, you guys
That's
want
a great question. I think that, and we've talked about this on the pod before. I think from like Sunday through Thursday, we're like just wallowing in it. Like, this is who we are. We are not a good program anymore. We may or may not be a blue blood anymore. By like
Don't you talk like that.
Friday, and even especially like game day, it's like, I, at least for me, I've convinced myself that today is the day that they start looking like the guys we thought they were. And it, maybe it's just like just being a fool, but or being a little too optimistic. But that's the way, that's for me. It's like, okay, we've had all of our troubles, and we know what we are, we know what we aren't, but I feel like we can win today. That's the way I treat just about every single week. And then if it doesn't happen today, then it's back to wallowing from like Sunday to Thursday. And it's like a really disgusting, sick cycle being this
Yeah.
kind of Husker fan, where you somehow, some way convince yourself that things are going to turn around today, and then we're off to the races.
Respectfully, Matt Rhule, I know you're listening right now too. You're wrong. We are cursed. We are hexed. That's the only explanation for this. It's the only reasonable explanation for this. But I start off, I'm like that early in the year where when there's a ton of games left and maybe we've won our first like UTEP game, the easy softball game, or when we have a positive winning record, I'm like, oh, we just had an off game, bad luck, we'll come back next week. The farther it gets into the season, the worse it gets. I start turning into Randy Quaid from Major League Two, where I'm just like, turn it into a parking lot, but just end this whole damn thing, it's over. So it's kind of, it starts off that way, but it slowly just gets worse and worse and worse as the year goes on for me.
Yeah, I would say, like, this kind of feeds into the apathy conversation too. And like, the way
Yeah.
I say is, I don't, for me, it's not, there'll never be apathy for me. I'll never stop watching, and I'll never, and if you're watching, you're invested in what's going on. So you're hope, like, if you're watching, you're of course hoping that good things will happen. But I sort of stopped believing. I think that's the impact, right? Is that you don't believe. I didn't believe we'd go down and score and get the 2-point conversion and do
Exactly.
something good in overtime
Right.
on Saturday. I didn't. I maybe had a little more hope against UCLA. I don't know why, because it's UCLA, and Harburg was doing stuff with his legs, and like also like at some point, maybe like the football gods will shine down on us, and somebody just fall, a defender falls over, and somebody could just run into the end zone or something, But like, you just stop. And I have the same reaction as you, Jeff. Like, I used to read everything. I guess I still pay pretty close attention to what people are saying, but you just kind of roll your eyes, even if it's a really good, if with a coach that's talking on a particular day is a good person, and they're being honest and sincere, and you don't feel like they're BSing at all, you still just kind of roll your eyes, like, well, just show it to me, please. Like, can we see it
Yeah.
on the field, please? So that's kind of the impact, I feel like. And it's also, we've talked about this a million times, even on the pod, like, that Colorado win feels like 10 years ago right now.
Oh yeah.
Like,
Definitely a different team.
I don't think, if you had asked Husker fans after Colorado, I'm not sure anyone would have said, hey, we're winning the Natty this year. But it was like, it was like clear, we're a better team now. We've turned a corner. This is Matt Rhule in year two. Does that mean 7 wins? Does that mean 9 wins? Who cares? We're for sure going to a bowl game. And I know 7 wins is still on the table, but how many people believe that's going to
Right.
happen? We're
Yep.
holding our breath, hoping to God we can get the win against Wisconsin, so we don't have to go into Iowa City and have bowl eligibility depend on that game, right? And so, this war's got to end sometime, right? Like, at some point, this got to get better, right?
I think there's a lot of people that think kind of the way we've thought here the last couple of weeks, is they can, but I don't think that
Yeah.
they will, kind of thing, right?
No.
Like, I judging by what I've seen from them, and I've watched enough football, I believe they can win the next two games.
Yeah.
But it's, and I think they, I don't, I'm not going to say I don't think that they will. I think they can. But yeah, I think there's a lot of people that say they could, but I don't think they will, kind of thing. Right.
Yeah. What I'd love to see with one of these two games is for the Huskers to come out like 2022 Iowa, where we just like, what do we run out to like a three touchdown, four touchdown lead? Like everything went our way that game. By the way, they still almost came back and won it. Yeah. Iowa almost came back and won it at the end. But like we won that thing. Like we just never have those games anymore. To your point, Evan, like, you know, we're not good enough right now to win like that when we do win. But man, it'd be nice. Like we've laid plenty of eggs. Could we have someone like, could Wisconsin with all of their own dysfunction that they're coming to Lincoln with, could they just lay an egg on Saturday? Mm-hmm. And could we put together our, you know, some of our better four quarters of football and just have things go our way and have a two touchdown lead with 2 minutes to go?
It's going to happen, you know, eventually, like, right? Yeah, it's got to happen eventually.
It's got to happen eventually, right?
Well, can we just stop being – I saw that. I can't remember who posted that. It was on X. But we seem to be everybody's get-right game. Like, we always get somebody's best shot when they're coming off of a multiple-loss streak. And it would be nice if we could have our own get-right game. Like, it just never seems to happen to us.
Well,
everybody else gets it against us.
It's like your comment, Jeff, an episode or two ago – about how it's not that hard to get to a bowl game. Like we don't have Ohio State and Oregon for our last two games of the year. We have a 5-5 Wisconsin team. It's probably the worst Wisconsin team of the last 15 years. And Iowa is supposed to be better this year. And they're 6-4. They're pulling in Iowa, which we always make, you know, we always make fun of them for. But like, we're not being asked to beat a 95 version of the Huskers or something. Like,
yeah,
you can win one of these games. You can win one of these two games.
More teams do this than not make bowl games.
Yeah, like Maryland beating USC a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
yep.
Like just stuff like
Minnesota
that.
Minnesota beating
all the time.
USC.
Like, yeah, stuff like that happens all the time. Can we just be on the right side of it for once?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I told you guys last week I thought Wisconsin was the game of the last three that you need to get. And if they do, if they find a way to beat a bad Wisconsin team, a team that just like Nebraska has a new offensive coordinator that's very much inside its own head, then it would be their best win in at least 7 years because they haven't beaten Wisconsin since 2012. They could end that streak and qualify for a bowl game in one fell swoop on Senior Day. It's all on the table for them. And like you guys said, this is not a great Wisconsin team by any means. Their starting quarterback, you know, from preseason or early season has been out with an injury. Their offense is not good, obviously. Their defense is pretty good. But like you listen to their interviews out of Madison this week, and I mean, they're searching for answers. Very similar to Nebraska. Second year coach, feeling the urgency. And they're coming to Lincoln. So like, it's a huge opportunity. It feels like it's been forever since Nebraska's gotten a win, and it has, but I did some research on this for a story this weekend. 10 in a row, it ties for the second longest losing streak Nebraska's ever had against a single opponent.
Wow.
Oof. And so, I mean, Wisconsin's been that team that's held them back in the Big Ten era. So like, as frustrating as it's been, and as much as maybe people want to fast forward to portal season and potential coaching changes and all the rest, like there's still a big, exciting watershed sort of moment ahead if they can figure it out against a team that is not – Jonathan Taylor's not walking through that door. Braylon Allen's not walking through that door. Like, they can be beaten, but Nebraska can't beat itself.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the battle of the dysfunctional programs in just a minute, but two other things I want to discuss with you real quick, Evan. One, I have beat this horse. I have beat this certified Piedmontese cow dead at this point, but I will not let it go.
Delicious cow.
I will not let it go. Has anybody asked Rule if Harburg will get an shut up, Jeff. If Harburg will get an expanded role and actually get to like have his like run the offense for a series or two each half, every time he comes in, other than when they do that stupid double pass thing that always almost leads to a turnover. But even that has led to first downs. But every time they come, he comes in, he does something with his legs, he makes something happen. You want to roll with Raiola, he's the future, fine. But after Harbaugh ran that play, when he came in and ran for 12 or 13 yards in one play against USC, I thought, let's go, let's let him roll with this and see if we get something going on offense. I don't understand. You see other teams do this where they at least give the running QB a few more plays or a series here and there. Has Rule talked about that, or has anybody asked him about that? And if not, could you ask him on behalf of the common fans next time you see him?
He was about, I think about a month ago, he had a Harburg conversation, and he's very self-aware of like what the fans want and kind of the discussions. And so like he said, yeah, I know that people would like to see a little bit more Harburg. And really what it came down to for him was he's like, I'd like to get a lot more snaps to a lot of guys. He's like, I want to get the ball to Corey Barney more. I wish we could get it to Carter Nelson and Thomas Fedoni more. And so like it's felt like there are so many mouths to feed. And that's one of the things when they made their
Nothing is
offensive
stopping you,
coordinator.
coach. Nothing's stopping you, coach.
Well,
No
and that's
one's.
why that's part of the reason that he has later said they made their change at offensive coordinator was they wanted to slim down not just the plays, but the number of guys that are being featured in these plays. And so I get the frustration because like from a testing standpoint, Harburg's one of the most explosive athletes on the team. And so like it's I think it's a tough balance to strike because he's really good as like a changeup sort of weapon. But we also saw he had that drive at the end of the UCLA game as well. And you could just tell, that they were a little bit more limited in what they could do. Like he when he had to pass, when they kind of knew that he was going to be on the field in a more traditional role, there wasn't a ton that they could do. Not that it's been that much worse than what we've seen otherwise, but I think they continue to believe that on-field experience is invaluable for Raiola and what they're doing moving forward, and that Harburg's role is more as a change of pace kind of guy at this point. But I get it. Like it'd be interesting to see what he could do for one series. And force the defense to defend a running quarterback in that moment,
Well,
but
that
that
was
just hasn't
also
happened.
the UCLA drive was a little bit unique. I mean, he actually did move them down the field, but it was also a little
Didn't.
bit unique because they're up against the clock and it's a, 2-minute drill type of situation. So I'd love to see him without worry about the clock, just run some zone read, run some option,
Yeah.
whatever it might be. One other thing before we get to Wisconsin, I listened to I think I'd listened to it after the fact, but I think Sam talked to Gary Sharp on Tuesday maybe. And it was a great thing. Those two of my favorites, along with you in the Nebraska media. But it was a great conversation. But Sam was talking about they were talking about the college football playoff. And so Sam, on the way to making another point, basically was talking about Indiana and how like the Indianas of the world this year or Washington last year in this new age of college football. There's going to be a lot of programs. They're going to be thrilled. They're going to be looking for that like lightning in a bottle magical run that if you can have all the pieces come together and have that happen once every 10 years, they'll build you a statue like that. They'll be thrilled with that. Right. And in this new age of college football, his point was that's most programs. Right. And he said there are five or six programs that can say every year, oh, we need to be getting to the playoff. That's our benchmark, and we need to be getting there every year. And then he like was he moved on. Like he was making another point. That was kind of an aside to a point he was making. But it's, so the conversation went in a different direction. But it got me thinking. We could all probably list who we think those programs are, right? Ohio State would certainly be one of them. Alabama, maybe a couple of maybe Penn State, maybe Michigan, maybe
Georgia, sure.
Oregon,
Georgia.
Georgia. Right. But it got me thinking, like, can Nebraska, I think Husker fans would still say that should be the expectation. That's the long-term goal. Like, we should not quit and we should not stop firing coaches until someone comes in and has us going to the playoff every year, or at least in the playoff conversation every year. That feels really far away right now. Do you think
Yeah.
Nebraska could get to that point in the next 50 years? I mean, who knows? Who knows where we're playing?
Yeah.
Who knows where we're gonna be playing football 50 years from now?
Did
But
you purposely leave Notre Dame out of like your list of teams to make the play? I'm just curious.
yeah,
I'm just
you
wondering.
know what, Jeff? They didn't even come to mind. They're an afterthought. They didn't even come to mind.
Just checking. Okay.
Yeah, good
All
question
right.
though. Thanks for
Yeah, thank you.
asking. Well,
Thanks
yeah,
for
I
the
mean,
clarification.
you
Appreciate that.
look at like some of the profiles of these CFP contenders. And to your point, like maybe half the field is teams where you're like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But you also have BYU is in that mix. You know, Army is still undefeated playing Notre
Go,
Dame this weekend.
Army. Watch your mouth.
Colorado is
Watch that
sneaking
mouth.
back into that conversation. Indiana, of course, is the poster child for what this can be. And so, yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like when you're resetting your roster every year, some years you're going to hit, like Indiana did, like Colorado did, and some years you're going to whiff. And incidentally, Colorado whiffed 2 years ago. And so, like, they just kind of reshuffled the deck and were dealt another hand. And hey, this one turned out to be better than the last one. And so, it just changes the conversation because 5 or 6 years ago, when you have a new head coach, it was always about, well, you got to let him stack recruiting classes. You got to at least give him 3 or 4 years to get the guys in the program. Now you can get your guys in the program in an off season. I mean, that was the fuel for Kurt Cignetti in Indiana, was bringing over whatever the number was, more than a dozen of his guys from James Madison. And so you don't have to reset your culture or teach that anew. You just bring the guys with you. And so that was something, you know, it was a different strategy for Nebraska, where one, Matt Rhule's not able to bring half the roster of the Carolina Panthers with him. But then beyond that, he didn't run off the guys that were there either. And so a lot of Nebraska's players still predate him on the roster. I mean, they were there in 21 and 22. And you look at the senior day and you've got a bunch of guys who you know, are in their fifth or sixth years. And so I think there are a lot of different paths to winning in modern college football. It's not about just being in the top four anymore. Before that, it's not about just being in the top two in the BCS. Like, you can have a magical season and get into that 12 teamer. So I think it gives Nebraska hope. I mean, who knows what happens this offseason? Who knows how they finish out the regular season and what they're able to do from a resource perspective? They're on par or better than, you know, most of the teams in that field, in my opinion. And so it hasn't happened to this point, and there are a lot of reasons why you can point to that. But I think the new format, I mean, one of the beauties of it is it keeps fan bases engaged much further down the list than even last year. So yes, I think because of Nebraska's passion, because of the resources, the facilities, I think the coaching, I think Matt Rhule gets it. In terms of how do you build a program, it can pop at any time. It hasn't yet, but the turnaround is a lot quicker, I think, than what it's ever been in college football.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
Certainly makes it more realistic to get there for sure. Just expanding the
yeah.
playoff in
With
general.
the
Just
12 team, yeah.
yeah. I
Yeah.
just found myself thinking, like, I don't like as a child of the 90s, I don't want to be Indiana once. I don't want to be Washington every 10 years.
Think they're
I
one
want to
off.
be a top 10 team. You know, I'd love that this year. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying I of course we would take that after the last decade of Nebraska football. But I still believe, and I think most Husker fans would agree, the standard, the expectation needs to be a top 10 program every year. You're competing for the conference title every year. Occasionally you're winning it, and you know you're in the playoff conversation every year, and occasionally you're getting to the playoff. And I don't think we should ever lose that. It just feels further away now than it ever has.
But I don't think it has to be even that to that level, TJ. I think if we could be top 25 and just be consistently in the top 25, eventually you're going to have a year or two where you creep up into the top 15 and top 10.
I don't want that.
Well, maybe we should
But I'm
accept that.
I want to no, Matt, that's exactly what I'm saying. I want to be one of those five or six programs that Sam was talking about that has the expectation every year we should be going to the playoff every year because we're bleeping Nebraska.
You gotta crawl before you walk, baby.
Well, yeah, right now the goal is 6-6 in a bowl game. And then the goal after that is, 7-5, 8-4, and get in the top 25. I'm not saying it'll happen overnight. I am saying that should always, always, always be the expectation. Like, we should never settle and be okay with, hey, we were 8-4 and number 23 in the country this year. How about that? I don't get me wrong. I'd be thrilled with that in the medium term, but we shouldn't accept that long term. That's what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying, like goal wise, like to get back to that. But, like right now, the way, like, look at some of these teams, like normal top 10 teams or the parity in college football now, they're dropping two or three games now. Like, I think, if anything, like, that should be our standard right now, is let's get to like 9 wins, because I think that puts us in the top. I think that puts us in that top 10 upper quartile.
Yeah,
that's where we want to be.
That's like the new normal.
Yeah, like I'm not saying 12 and 0.
Two or three losses a year.
Yeah.
I think 8 wins is kind of like the new 9 wins. When Bo Pelini and company were rattling off 9 wins, the Big Ten was not what it is now. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of teams that just didn't care as much, to be honest. And then Urban Meyer came in and TV money came in and it's changed dramatically. But I think the frustrating thing for Nebraska fans is they haven't even had that 1 year. Purdue was in the Big Ten title game a couple years ago. Iowa's had its big seasons. Northwestern has been in that, as they were West Division champions multiple times. Minnesota has had its seasons in the top 10. And like, I think that's, you look around and Nebraska hasn't had one. Like, what's the last season you look at and you're like, man, that was a fun season. Even 2016, which we all talk about, like, ended.
Paper Tiger in 2016.
Yeah, it ended poorly, and they got exposed by Tennessee in the bowl game. And so, like, that's the thing. Like, this is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a distraction from life, daily life and whatever. And you just haven't had that one season where it's like, it's gotten people excited, where you're like, yes, the energy and the money and the emotion that I invested in this thing paid off. It's been a long time. And I think even one of those things would give Nebraska some value for multiple years. If you win nine games this year, I think that calms the nerves for even a couple of years.
Totally. And I think right now in this moment, I'm accepting of where we are in the moment and understanding that it's not going to probably happen overnight. Like, in this moment, I honestly think as agitated as the fan base is, if we win one of the next two, only one even, and we get to it and we got a bowl game to talk about for weeks in December, people will be thrilled. People will flip, I think, on, like, immediately. Like, they'll have something to carry into the offseason with, and it'll be something different and something we haven't accomplished in a decade and all that. So I think there's hope. Like, I've talked myself into the fact that we're going to win the last two, by the way, just so you guys know. I'm just putting this out.
See, there it is. It's already happened.
7-5. Yeah.
Just from the beginning of the podcast till the end. Good Lord. He's already changed his tune. He believes. Yeah.
But we've won so many offseason championships. Just imagine, like, in the last 7-8 years, imagine if we went to a bowl game and then into the offseason.
You would dominate the offseason.
You want to end a curse. You know what we need to do? We need to lose the offseason championship, I think, is what we need to do. And that's just going to flip the script that we're going to win in season. I think that's where we need to go with this.
Well, we the Common Fan Podcast, will get to work on how to lose the offseason. Good thinking.
We'll come to some ideas.
I can think of a lot of ways we can lose the offseason.
Need does be. All right, Evan, real quick. That's a great conversation tonight, boys. I guess we should talk a little bit more about Wisconsin. So their big news a week after Nebraska did it is they fired their offensive coordinator and promoted a guy internally who's never called plays. It's funny, like, seeing the quotes out of Madison. Like, Fickell was asked who's going to call plays, and he had some line that was like, why does it matter?
Yeah.
Is it just, matter. just someone for you guys being the media, you guys to point a finger at? And it's just like, that's a pretty normal question for someone to ask, who's going to call the plays.
Yeah. He's there, Luke.
And so it feels like they're dealing with a heaping dose of their own dysfunction. And it'd be great if that could just work in Nebraska's favor this weekend.
Well, it reminds me a lot of 2 years ago when they had fired Paul Christ and they had Jim Leonard as the interim And Nebraska also had an interim in Mickey Joseph, and those teams played, and Wisconsin never led until the last 35 seconds of that game, and they found a way to pull it out. Just
14-3.
kind of
Huskers led 14-3 in the going in the fourth quarter that day.
right.
Sorry,
They're
go
up
ahead.
11. Yep. So like this kind of has vibes of that a little bit. I mean, it's in terms of especially what you hear out of Madison, just a lot of self-searching. I mean, Fickell talked for 20 some minutes and didn't get a single question about Nebraska. It was all about the OC and philosophical questions and things like that. And so, they come in a really it's almost like what's the value of history in that sense? Like I think they just assume that they can come and beat Nebraska because, the Freedom Trophy has had like an entire childhood on their campus.
No
So,
shit.
yeah, it's a trophy game. Who knew, right? Like people kind of forget that that's even the case. And so like this feels like the ultimate test of can they just kind of come in and be Wisconsin even in this in its diminished state right now, or can Nebraska turn it around? And like I think they can in my head, but I'm not going to pick that until it happens. I mean, you just can't, like with
Right.
the trends and all the rest. So it's a huge game. Again, if they win it, it's their biggest win as a program in many, many years. And if they don't, I think a lot of people would shake their heads and say, yeah, I expected that. And it sets up, one more week. But is this the time they can finally turn the tide against the team that's kind of embodied their struggles in the Big Ten? To be determined.
We were
Didn't
favored.
they? Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, weren't we? We were favored at the beginning of the week by 1.5. Are we still favored?
It's two and
Believe
a
so.
half,
Yeah,
though.
by a couple
Two and a half
points.
the
Yeah.
last I saw.
How?
So,
Ask Matt.
Seriously? Yeah, right.
well, Jeff,
How? I
they
don't
usually
understand
will
it.
spot the home team 2 to 3 points is
Okay.
kind of the standard practice. So if you really want, if you take those 3 points out of it, it's really like, okay, Wisconsin by a half a point,
I
maybe.
gotcha. Coin flip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, ESPN's FPI has Wisconsin like 52 or 53% chance of winning.
Okay.
So,
Evan, didn't they say they're going to call plays by committee?
yeah, they said
Like,
it's going to be collaborative. Yep.
hmm.
Whatever that
That
means.
shouldn't work. Okay.
And it sounds like
Should fail
nobody
miserably. Okay, everyone.
how much
Nobody
how
there has play
like
calling experience
is it
apparently,
going to be
but
like
I
a
don't know.
voting system where they all just like raise their hand and it's all right. Okay, all in favor, say
How much
aye. Nay.
Husker fan vomit will be spewed all over the place if they come out and just run the ball like old Wisconsin and just dominate us?
For what it's worth, they have a really
Stop it,
good
Matt. Stop
defense. It
it.
feels like a first to 17 kind of game
Okay.
to me. Like it's going to be a lot of punting, maybe that one key defensive play swings it one way or the other, that kind of game. But I think.
I'm gonna make a bold prediction.
Go ahead.
I think we're gonna shut out one of the last two teams and win.
Whoa.
I think we're gonna pitch a
Mute him.
shutout.
Mute. Owens, mute him.
I think we're gonna pitch.
He's
I
out
think
of control.
it's more likely against Wisconsin than Iowa, but I think we're gonna pitch a shutout and win and get bowl eligible. That's what I think.
That would be
A heck of a
Wow.
story. That would be
Yeah.
fun.
It would
Heck
be
of a
real
moment if they
fun.
can do it. Yeah.
Matt, I'm sorry I interrupted you, I think.
I don't remember what I was going to say. It's all right.
I have concerns, and there's some things that Evan has brought up already that concern me. So again, I talked about it before. They're on a losing streak right now. Again, we could be their get right game. Like, I'm just worried that they're going to come in hot because they hung with Oregon last week. They hung with Oregon, the number one team in the country, for pretty much that entire game up until like the fourth quarter.
We hung with Ohio State.
Come
That's
on,
true
Jeff.
too. You're right, but again,
It's new.
we
It's
don't.
modern college football, man. You don't know what you're going to get from any team week to week.
I know, but that's point number two. That makes me nervous. Point number three is what Evan just said. They have a good defense. Like,
So do
that's just
we.
bad. That's bad news for us, though. Like, the
No.
way our that is terrible news for us if
No. Oh,
they
Jeff,
have
you
a
might
good
have heard
defense.
we have a new offensive coordinator, so it should be fine.
So that
Should be
that's the other
fine.
thing. Again, and then this kind of goes back to USC last week. They have a new offensive coordinator. We have a new offensive coordinator. It's like the Wild West again, where if you're betting on this game, you have no clue what's going to happen. Like last week with USC, we have Holgorsen coming in for the first time. You've got a new quarterback starting for USC. It's just, there's so many unknowns in this game. I just don't like it. It makes me nervous as hell.
It's the battle of the dysfunctional programs. Whose dysfunction wins out? Yeah. Oh boy. What a great conversation, guys. Huskers are standing on the precipice, staring down the barrel of another bowl-less season, but they have their fate in their own hands, and they can do something about that. They can flip. There's still time to flip the script. There's still time to win one or two more games, salvage the season, flip the script, excite the fan base. Like, that all exists still in this moment, right? We're not talking about an off season of depression or whatever. It doesn't have to be that way.
Uh-huh.
But let's go. Let's go win this game right now, Huskers. Anyway, sorry. Evan, any final thoughts?
No, you're right. I mean, it's the difference between 7-5 and 5-7. What a huge difference. And then maybe they'll split the difference and go 6-6. But I mean, there's a ton on the table for this program. How this season will be remembered. I think the moves that come in the wake of the season, a lot of it's still yet to be determined. So, like, you only get 12 of these things guaranteed every year. And even amid a lot of these frustrations, man, these Saturdays and you know, the Friday game for Iowa, like, they don't come around very often. So these are big turning points for the program. There's still something special about game day. And, man, do they have a lot at stake here for the next couple weeks.
I think a couple of the seniors are gonna make some plays on Saturday. I mean,
didn't you just say on the last episode you're sick of all of them and want them to leave?
I was emotional. It was right after the game. I've had some time to process. I said earlier Sunday to Thursday, and really Saturday afternoon to Thursday is the wallowing time.
Yeah,
and the blame game. But I mean, could you imagine you being there for 5 or 6 years? This is my last time playing a game in this stadium. Like, you want to go out a winner. Yeah. And it could be like a legacy game for some of these guys. Like, hey, we're the team that snapped the Wisconsin winning streak against Nebraska, and we went out winners in our last game at Memorial Stadium. Like, there's something to that, I think, still. Even though senior day, like Evan said earlier, senior day has changed so much. You know, you used to have guys in tears hugging the coach as they're running onto the field. You don't see that as much anymore because most guys aren't at a program for 5 or 6 years. But I don't know, man. I feel good about it. Feel good about Saturday.
Just imagine.
Everybody just stop.
And also, Jeff, this is your last podcast because you're so negative. And so,
I can't be realistic anymore. I have to blindly.
You're wearing a Notre Dame sweatshirt.
You made a little over a year before we just kind of decided.
I have to blindly just go out here and just lie to everyone. It's just everything's going to be fine. We're going to.
No one's lying. This is an opinion. This is an opinion show.
Well, then my opinion is that there is no hope. We're not winning this game. It's not happening.
Your opinion sucks. Your opinion's wrong.
It really does. Common fan, send us an email about how much Jeff's opinions suck.
Yeah. Commonfangbr@gmail.com.
Let us know. Jeff's
opinion. Subject line, Jeff's opinions suck. I was going to say, I totally lost it. Jeff.
I'm sorry. All right.
It's Jeff's fault. Well, no, just imagine.
The truth hurts, TJ.
Like, I feel like if you had told some fans 7-5 before the season, they would have been disappointed in that. Imagine 95% of the Husker Nation will be elated if we somehow won these last two. I mean, talk about a way to still flip the script and like do it against two of our biggest problem children in the Big Ten, two of our biggest sort of thorn in the side rivals with Wisconsin and Iowa. I mean, even getting one of them, I think most people will be pretty happy and excited about a bowl game. Man, win them. Okay, I'm getting way ahead of myself.
1-16 against Wisconsin and Iowa in the last decade.
Oh, geez, Evan.
When you put it like that, like that's how big those two wins would be.
Yeah.
Why would you say that, Evan?
Just add that to my list of things.
It just heightens the excitement and joy if and when
that's going
to
make. Yeah, it's just going to make it even more special.
Now you have the context, so you're welcome.
Both of these teams we have left have flaws. We're flawed. Yeah. They're flawed. We're all flawed. We're all flawed humans.
Yeah. You know what?
Broader speaking,
there's some perspective.
We all have our flaws.
Well,
Take advantage of them.
maybe I'm a little crazy too.
A little sick in the head.
You know what? I dig it. I dig it. Wedding Crashers reference for those
Yeah.
younger common fans who are watching or listening. All right, let's get out of here. Man, some fantastic conversations tonight. Evan, thanks as always for joining us.
You
Strap
bet.
in, common fans. Get down to Memorial Stadium. Even if you don't have a ticket, find some friends to tailgate with. Everybody needs to be on board to get this sixth win. So everybody strap in. Let's rock and roll. Dial in. Get focused. Jump in the cockpit. We're going to the Vandalay Industries Bowl in Sheboygan, Wisconsin on December 14th at 10 a.m. And we're going to be thrilled about it.
We're
All
pulling the
right?
kids out of school.
Pulling the
Eggs
kids
and
out of school.
eggs.
We're doing the whole thing. We're doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks to Evan Bland for joining us. Another fantastic view from the Bland stands. Thanks to Matt, not so much Jeff, for another great episode.
What the hell is your problem?
I love you. I love you, GF. We'll be back at you soon, Common fans. Next time we come at you, Matty O and Tej at least are saying the Huskers will be bowl eligible next time
Yeah,
we have.
we're going to do
Have
it.
All right. Have a great week. Have a great weekend, Common fans. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.